Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy right here in the bunker today. Beautiful day, sunshiny day. The All-Father's sun is beaming bright right here in north central Indiana. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And our big website is resist.com. And let's see, our if you have any problems on the website or anything like that, or any question about your donations, contact merchandiseresist@yahoo.com. And it's very good morning. And guess what kind of morning? It's Stray Dog morning. Good morning, Stray Dog.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you. Good. Thanks for having me. Good to be here with you.
Yo, I got to turn my... So what's new? What's going on out there in New Jersey or New Germany?
New Germany, New Europe. It's a mostly white land, 73% white, according to the census figure. Nothing much. See, when the weather is cold, we're having a relatively cold spring, the darker element of New Germany doesn't rise up. So... we're getting a break from the street violence, what we normally see this time of year when things heat up. In fact, we still have our heat on. We haven't put the air conditioners in the window, so much for global warming.
Out here, we get the heat on a little bit, not too much.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. This is the first cold May we've had in quite a while, but... I don't mind. It's gets more like Northern Europe, and that's what we expect through climate change, that this part of the country, yours and my part of the country, will turn more like Northern Europe, where you get more snow and shorter summers and things.
Well, I don't know. I was in Germany a few years, and it was similar to the Midwest as far as the spring and summer and fall and winter.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even though they're further north and the globe, their weather is actually more fair.
Yeah.
There. Well, I see in the news today that the greaser that was in jail already, he attacked a white woman in Princeton, which is a very good area around here. And through the DNA evidence, they fingered him as the rapist for this woman. She was 61 at the time. This happened in 05. So we hear a lot about DNA evidence exonerating these mud people. And here's one case where this illegal alien was in jail already, and because his DNA was on file, that he was fingered for the rape of this elderly white woman, which that's not going to be held up in the press, but there's a lot more of that going on than them freeing the niggers, like we see on RT News, that one special they had, which they tend to lean toward favoring the mud people, I think, the RT News, which is bad. You got to watch out for that.
That's true. I'm trying to get my volume set here. You seem to be a little bit high. Give me a five count.
One, two, three, four, five. I could turn my mic down. I was trying to find that.
Let me see here. Maybe it's
that window.
Maybe it's because of this. Go ahead. I think we'll be all right.
Oh, okay. Other news in New Germany, Fat Tony, he's still seen in the race as being a front runner just because his ability to raise money, as CBS News is reporting in the story. He has a tremendous ability to raise money very quickly, and that seems to be the one determining factor. And in fact, Christie and the Republican Party Association raised $23.5 million, a record sum, for the first quarter of a midterm election year.
Well, we need to go on the internet to the page that tells where the money's coming from and check it out. I forget the address, but I've got it here on me in my file.
We already know where it's coming from. He's the big business guy. He comes from the old money school out of North Jersey, Morristown. This guy's a union buster, and that's the way things are going to go. You're going to have to... And what's this thing about the minimum wage I hear, that everybody's fighting for the minimum wage? What about a middle wage? See, this is the thing when you start tinkering with the system. When you set a minimum wage, I always argued that that would hurt the guy in the middle making, like, most of our associates making, like, $20-$25 an hour. That's going to chip away at our nest egg.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, see, kids don't understand. When you first get a job when you're 15, guess what? You're going to work for the minimum wage. And you do that for, what, 5-6 years maybe? If you're good, you do it only for a couple years, and you move up. This is part of the process.
If you've got an honest employer, but many employers are not honest, and if they can keep you at a low rate, they'll keep you at a low rate. I don't have a confidence in so many employers as some people do. Sometimes in small business, I know I was treated right most of the time, but there are plenty of people and plenty of companies who take advantage of this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you got to go by the company. Yeah,
they'd keep you working for $7 an hour for 20 years if they could.
Well, the big thing what breaks the bank is the health care premiums, which they're trying to hurt the little guy by taking more of his biweekly check to cover the health care, when we know from the White Man's Bible, Ben Klassen, there's no such thing as health care. There's a way of living. There's a code of living. There's a preventative medicine, a preventative care medicine. If you as an individual don't want to end up with heart disease, you know not to eat greasy fried food your whole life. So
that's true. That's true, but that's only part of it. There are diseases around, like people are dragging diseases into this country. Mexicans are dragging it in, everybody else, so that there are some diseases that even if you are in real good health, you can catch something, and so there needs to be some protection, or there wouldn't be any insurance policies ever sold, because catastrophic illness hits you and you're through, you're done, you're in the poorhouse. You should watch a series movie called The Titanic. It's quite a deal. It's about 3 or 4 CDs or DVDs, and you learn in there how the employer labor relationship goes, because they were building the Titanic up in Belfast, and it was all kinds of problems. They had not only the Catholic Protestant problem, but they had where the big shots were playing the working man to where he never get any extra. So you should watch that. Everything labor's got now, they had to fight for with baseball bats, believe me.
Yeah, and it slipped. It's not, I mean, who has the good labor contracts now? Just the people who are associated with governmental jobs and stuff. The regular working Joe on the street, like the associates around here, we have to work for whatever wage we find.
That's because they don't, white labor don't stick together anymore. I mean, I hear, you know, I hear all, you know, everybody says, oh, the unions are horrible, the unions are horrible, but, but you can straighten out a union. The unions are not as horrible as the capitalist guys on the top. I mean, the corruption of the union doesn't even come close to the corruption of the ruling class.
If we look at them close enough, the union hierarchy and the management hierarchy, you'll find that they're one and the same. And they also work with elected officials. Therein lies the problem. Just like the old battleships, the unions have become too big of a target.
The membership is the problem. Membership of any group should keep the group clean. And they should have inter-union struggles to keep it clean. And so if the membership doesn't keep corruption out, then it's not going to be out. It's got to be, it's personal responsibility, and that's something that the white race has forgotten about, their individual responsibility.
That's what you get when you have overcrowding, overpopulation, the processes of natural selection and those pressures that would have culled the numbers of those individuals who weren't as bright as some of our ancestors were. They're allowed to flourish and reproduce. And then what you have a nation of hangers-on, where you have 1 in 3 people not working, drawing on the system.
You haven't seen the bottom yet. And because white workers don't stick together, it's going down, down, down. And management and the ruling class, they'd be happy just to pay you a dollar an hour if they can get away with it.
Well, in certain instances, a dollar an hour is good because look what they bring in these coolie labor to build the railroads 150 years ago for the Chinese coolie. Dollar an hour was heaven.
Dollar.
So it all, yeah.
It was like $50 an hour now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it all depends, you know.
So I worked for a dollar an hour, 75 cents an hour when I was 12 years old on the farm, you know.
Sure. Yeah, back in, what was it, back in the early 80s, the minimum wage here in New Jersey was $3.35 an hour. And that was one of my first jobs. I drive the truck. And I earned $3.35 an hour. So 10 hours of work got you $30, you know. But
well, anyhow, it's our fault, our race's fault. We blew it, and we continue to blow it. And even though no matter how we feel, what we think, the masses are just don't care, or they're afraid. They're scared of everything, you know. They're afraid to challenge authority. They're afraid to challenge anything, you know. So as long as you've got a race like that, it's losing. It's going to keep losing until it gets its balls back.
Genetics, the best and brightest, the bravest were sent out off to war. Those who were quick to fight, quick to be cockstrong, they got sent off to war in a meat grinder. Come back, your legs blown off, limbs blown off. Best and brightest are in prison, off to war. That's going to diminish the gene pool. What we need to bring back the SS protocols of racial purity. You know, I get insulted when somebody calls me a Nazi. They ask them, you think I'm a Nazi? I'm an SS man. I'm the children of the SS. That scared the shit out of them.
Like I tell them, we're Aryans. We're of the noble class of whites that... not so much arguing about the physical traits of an Aryan, but it's in Sanskrit, Aryan means nobility. And so I only class a certain percentage of the white race to be noble ones of the Aryan. And the rest of them are not, I mean, you know, they may be breeding stock, but that's about it.
Yep, that's just how, when you look at the farm life or breeding in general, it's just how animals work. To breed good animals, you first have to start with good stock, good genealogy. Then of those good breeds, a certain amount will rise to blue ribbon status or an Aryan, as we say. But anytime you write the letter S, always make a lightning bolt. What a beautiful symbol, the lightning bolt. Nothing exemplifies strength and honor. And something that we all know and can all view is a lightning bolt. So spread it around, you know.
I'm not too keen on keep perpetuating this World War II kind of stuff, you know. You know, that's the problem. Every group that starts up around the world, in Europe or over here, they want to use World War II tactics and German tactics. And they got to learn that there's new ways. Like I use the non-equal sign. I think that's more important to racially now than the SS, because you take on all the baggage of everything the SS ever did. And don't get me. The SS weren't all so honorable as you might think. There's a mystique about this. Great honor and chivalry of the SS, or like even Green Berets or anything like that. But if you examine closely in their travels and their activities, there's things that they did that I certainly wouldn't endorse.
There's always going to be a fringe.
What? And can borrow this stuff from other countries. We have to do our own thing. We had racism. Much more stringent racism in this country before Hitler was even around. I mean, we had all our racial ideals set up. We had all our race was all over the place. And the Jews, they couldn't even get into a decent hotel, and they wouldn't get, most of the time wouldn't get hired, and they were sort of looked at even back then as troublemakers long before Hitler wrote about the Jews. So we had all these. We had racial heroes here that were probably purer on the racial issue than Hitler was, because he was more inclined towards the Germanic white. And we're here in this country, we had assimilated the English, the Irish, the German, Poles, and everybody. And but we still had white racism, which was a better white racism than they had in Germany.
Yeah, didn't the Jews come into the South after the Civil War, when everything was all broken and busted up from war, and they went in, and they were known as the carpetbaggers, and Andrew Jackson is known for running them out, I think, right?
No. In fact, Jews have been in the South since way, way, way back. When Grant was just a lower officer, I think a captain, he was stationed in Jacksonville, and he knew all these Jews in Jacksonville long before the Civil War. And then when Grant was transferred to San Francisco, he got in with the Jews, mercantile Jews in San Francisco, quite heavily. But there were Jews down south, and I've got a book on that about our tribe, where this guy traces all the Jews and down through time in North America. And they're all over the place, and they're down south. You all, just like any other redneck Southerner, you know. And most of them didn't have much of a synagogue or anything, so they had little makeshift deals. But and of course many of the Jews weren't religious at all anyhow, but they've been around for a long time.
They're damn sneaky. Sleeper cells.
Yeah, and they're clever. And most of the things, the cleverness of the Jews has been adopted by all the corporations. All the corporations are doing what the Jews did for 1,000 years.
Sure. Hey, that basketball owner got in trouble for talking to his Negroid girlfriend. And if you listen to the whole conversation I did online, it's very interesting. To me, it sounds like that was just a business decision, what he was telling his Negroid hooker girlfriend. Don't bring the muds, the niggers, into the basketball game, because the niggers will scare the paying whites away.
Well,
so that's like a business decision, you know?
Or she could bring him she could bring him in the house and bring him in the bed. Didn't you hear that?
But he's racist. The thing says that he's somehow racist.
Racist? I mean, you know, you're telling your girlfriend she can bring niggers into your bed. She was some type of Asian cross, too, with Negro. So, but anyhow, I don't see how they can call him a racist when he says just don't bring him to the ball game, you know.
Well, yeah.
You can bring him into the house, you can screw him in your bedroom and the whole bit. That's okay, just don't bring him to the ball game. I don't understand how that's racism.
Any thinking person who listens to the whole monologue, it was like a 10-minute conversation, you get the gist of it. I wonder who taped that. That never came out.
His girlfriend.
How about that? So, see, she's money grubbing. I mean, what does she do for a living?
Oh, she just stupidly let it out, or she got mad. You know how sometimes a woman will get mad for a few minutes and do something crazy, and then she may regret it. I mean, if he kicks her out, she's going to lose a lot, because she had the best of everything. Well, he was just a Jew plantation owner. Like, all those owners are plantation owners, and they've got their nigger slaves that play ball for them, you know. And most of the owners are never blacks. And there's a couple of them, I guess. But And the thing is, they around these niggers all the time and see how they act and how they live and how they play and all that kind of stuff. So they get a pretty good view of the black race. But they have to sort of hide it because that's an investment. It's all money. It's all about money, and they're going to do whatever they have to do. And believe me, the other owners say the same damn things. I mean, you know, different things but different ways. She just happened to get caught on that one recording, which to me, how anybody can call it racist when you'd go so far as to say, I don't care if you bring your black boyfriends into my bed, but just don't bring them to the ball game. That's a strange kind of racism. I guess that's the Jew racism, I guess.
They want them to be allowed everywhere. But there's a white basketball player in the news this morning that claims that that same owner wouldn't give him any money that he wanted because he was white. He told him that, well, look, you're white. People aren't going to want to see you play because you're white.
Well, I have the other question, too. How come, since he had committed other racial, supposedly racial slips and said things and about his tenants because he was a slumlord, well, why didn't all these basketball players quit? I mean, they continued to play for him long after everybody knew he was racial, at least said racial things.
And he said, the money's good.
And he said pretty positive things about the Mexicans and the blacks in his housing developments, slumlord, which he's partly right, I'm sure, the way they live. But he's partly wrong for being a slumlord anyhow. But the point is, how come none of those basketball players took off their uniform and walked off the floor before? They waited till this happened. So they're a bunch of phony bastards, too.
They do it on cue from the media. But you see where this is going. I mean, one day they want to make this kind of speech somehow a crime where maybe a civil penalty, where you'll be able to sue in court and get money for it, at least, if not criminally. And that's where this is going.
Well, yeah, but it's more and more. The more you talk race, the more there will be racism and the whole bit. So they're not going to accomplish that because you're going against thousands of years of evolution. And they're not going to get away with that. They can try to do like Canada does and so forth. But I think there's enough crazy, radical white people in this country that they're just not going to bend to it. I mean, they may whisper behind closed doors, or they may use code words. You know, the middle class and the Republicans now have code words, and they use all the time. And yesterday I gave the synopsis of a racial study on how white people are voting. You know, I was on the show there for 15, 20 minutes reading the results of this of the survey. Well, there's less overt out in the open racism, but there surely is not any less racism. It's just more controlled. And, of course, as the older generation dies off, of course, the younger ones are more prone to be brainwashed into saying something. But that's all right. And they get out in the real world and get their ass kicked. A lot of those people will change pretty fast.
If you do an observation in your downtown area, or listeners can do it maybe near a city where they live, just sit in your car for a couple hours and look at the people going by in a racially mixed area. And I would think if the country is any reflection in New Germany, you'll see the racists will mostly keep to themselves and go about their business in the city that's racially mixed. So we're not seeing the type of mixing that the powers that be would want. And if we examine the census data, here I see in Indiana, the percentage of those reporting two or more races are 1.8%. In New Jersey, it's 1.9% of the state population. So it's not a lot of people. Indiana has a population of 6.6 million. And New Germany is 8.8 million. So the trend, and even if we look at the trend for the countrywide, they report 2.4% of our 313 million are of one or more races. So those are the ones that pose the greatest risk to the white race are the gene hijackers, and that is the greatest threat.
Well, they're all upset now, and I talked about a study, and I'm going to talk about it some more. The schools are resegregating all over the place, and it's driving the liberals crazy that now that the Supreme Court has backed away from their original positions on a lot of this race issue and left these schools off the hook that they had them under control. Now they're resegregating. And they're figuring ways all over the South to get the blacks all into one school. I mean, you know, so they got something like if a school becomes half white, half black, then they transfer the blacks to another school or something. But anyhow, I'm going to cover that maybe tomorrow on tomorrow's radio show. For those of you who think that racism is not around, it's just, the ruling class, the middle class of whites, they're desperate to do something, but they try to sneak around and do it instead of being straight out and overt like you and me.
Right. You got to look. You got to be practical. We both love our land. You love the land you live on. I love New Germany, and we want to help. We want to help the next generations. And look, diversity means separation. That's what. Okay, you're for diversity. I am too. You are too. Diversity means to separate. To separate means to have harmony.
Yeah, but if people can't understand plain English, there's not much you can do for them. I bring that up all the time, and maybe I make it a dent. I don't know. I think when we're up against the media and how everything, we can say something, but they'll say it 500 times what they believe, and the people tend to go along with the media. And even though they say they hate the media, they sort of go along with the media.
Yeah, you know, what I see, young people today are very racial, but it's very much not on the surface. They'll keep it because they've been trained through the media that somehow if they express their racism, they'll be punished, there'll be people will attack them. But that's not the case. You'll if you do express your racism, and especially at school where they can't really do nothing to you, you'll have allies that come to you and actually agree with you. That's probably the one setting that race can be discussed in a way where they can't get in trouble, as opposed to your workplace. Now, we know if you're at work, lunchtime, break time, you don't want to go discussing the things we do because it'll be a painful thing to get your a week later you say, look, we don't need you no more. You know, they'll fire you another way. So.
Well, you just have use the code words.
Right.
Now, another subject. North Dakota has challenged me.
In what way?
Well, they said that now they got Craig Cobb out of the state. He's going down to Missouri. And they say, we're all set now. We weren't prepared for him before. But now, if they show their face in North Dakota, we're going to shine the light, the spotlight on them and expose them. And I sent an email back out to them, the newspaper, and I said, you know, that can work both ways. I can dig out all the crap and corruption on your leaders here in North Dakota, and I will put it out. Because they're the big oil companies are buying off these leaders all over North Dakota so they can befoul North Dakota with this crap oil and build that damn pipeline down from Canada through the west there and the whole bit.
Sure.
Well, I said, you know, two can do that. You know, I played that game before. They said, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, and we're going to do this to you and all that stuff. And I turned around and turned the books on them because I will be able to dig out. I'll find out all the pay of all these big leaders in North Dakota, and I'll find out who the rats are, and I'll release it.
Sure. Hey, not a lot of – not every one of like-minded people or want to be Hollywood and out in the open. There's people in Leith that are associates who never raised their head out of the foxhole, who just sat and watched, maybe not in Leith, but around the area, who give reports. So let them know, hey, we got people on the ground that aren't into parading around. They're just sitting and watching, making reports, and they're watching you, too. So you don't – so what? Yeah, they're going to do something? Well – that goes both ways, you know.
I told them, you know, I've already got that beachhead. I got the one lot up there, and there's nothing they can do about it. They may try to come up with some ordinance that'll be unconstitutional, but we'll take care of that if it happens.
So you're now accepting designs for memorials to be placed on that lot. I'm thinking...
I'm torn between that and making it a Somalian refugee center.
They might like that. You know, nobody likes Jews, so what you put, a rabbinical college.
Well,
and that'll piss them off.
No, if they're Christians, they'd pretend they love the Jews, so I don't know. I don't think that would work, but I think making it a Somalian refugee entrance center or something, I think that might be pretty good.
Just make sure they're Muslim Somalis.
What I'd like to do is control a radio station up there, because the radio station, even on AM, would reach into Canada from where Leith.
Flat,
Trump
yeah.
is trying to... protect it with security. Got all those drunken Indians down the road there that they want to come up and tear the antenna down.
they'll drive their pickup truck into the antenna in the drunken rage.
Yeah.
And then blame it on the white man. Say, well, the white man got them stirred up. So.
Well, it's probably easier just to get some phone services around North Dakota and put out a message. You know, this is Radio Free North Dakota.
You know, I think those wagon burners got a good deal with that reservation stuff. When are we going to move them off that reservation and start our own? You know, is this something, in other words, I'm asking, is this reservation system something that could possibly be offered to whites when the mud people, when the mestizos, Mongo Asiatics, come up from the southwest and push us into a corridor? Would that be a better deal for whites than we have now?
Well, no, because they'd have us cornered, and then they would just exterminate us, either one way or by one method or another. Now, Whitey don't want to be cornered in one area of the country any more than I recommend any young person move to one of these right-wing camps that they come up with every once in a while. That's suicide. And it never work anyhow, because they always end up fighting over something, money usually.
Because think about that. The Mongol Asiatic wagon burners have the ability of total self-governance and self-determination on their own land. So that is like almost a nirvana to those whites have been dispossessed of our county government or town government. I'm wondering if ultimately what will happen in 100 years will the mestizo take over and then force the white on the reservation? The white will never accept that. I think we'll fight to the bitter end.
Number one, you don't understand the reservation system. That's just a holding area, but the point is they don't stay on the reservation. Most of the time they're off the reservation causing trouble or getting drunk and driving into somebody going down the highway. And they're there because the government gives them a handout. And the the Bureau of Indian Affairs tries to keep them under control. They could make great places out of these reservations, but the Indians don't have it. You know, the worst
right.
The Indians went on the reservation. The best of the Indians died fighting the white man. The worst of the Indians, the most docile, went on the reservations and became Christians. And Christianity destroyed the Indians more than the cavalry did, because the Christians were bound and determined to convert them to Christianity and make them dress like white people and talk like white people and do like white people. If they're going to have them on the reservation, they should have had them just in their natural state, you know. But the thing was, to be perfectly honest about it, Sherman had it right. The only good Indians are dead Indians. They should have either driven them all out of continental North America or exterminated them. So one or the two. Because whenever you leave something in your trail behind you like that, it comes back to bite you in the ass. And now these Indians they got all kinds of spokesmen, and the government is bowing to a lot of their wishes, and now they got gambling casinos on their reservations, of which we are not taxing enough. And these reservations should be recognize as separate countries and make them have travel permits to come off the reservation. In other words, like a passport and a gate. And when you come into the white man's land, you're going to pay taxes, because now they're getting the best of all possible worlds, but the way they operate and their habits, I know. I was around them out there in Southern California, and they're the laziest, drunkenest bastards in the world.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they got the privilege of self-determination, like you say, to come back to haunt us now, because over the last 10, 15 years, the wagon burners have gained power through gambling. So now that's putting money in their nation.
They're not getting that much of that money. A few of them are getting it. They even kill each other over it. Some of them are getting rich, but most of them, and most of the casinos, are run by Jews and other people that are not even Indian. So
what's to stop the whites from going on the reservation and raising hell?
That would be, they got their reservation police. I mean, you know, they could shoot your ass. But however, when I ran for Congress, they told me I got a pretty sizable vote off the Indian reservations, because they were pissed off at the illegal aliens crossing the reservation, causing the Indians trouble.
Well, you know as well as I do, with that border, they're going to have to get on that border and have blood on the border. If I was a rancher right on the border, what other choice would you have? You'd have to shoot them.
Well, that reservation deal, let me tell you, that was all just to corral them and get them out of the road. They didn't know what to do with them. And they, because of the Christian crap, they didn't have it in them to exterminate them. And they didn't seem to have the will, or didn't want to spend the money to shove them all into Mexico, which would have caused problems too. So they kept coming up with these reservations, and then when they decided, well, we want to build a railroad track through that area, well, okay, they picked them up and moved them to another reservation just to get them out of the road.
Right.
Just a concentration camp was all it was. I mean, you know, before they even knew what a concentration camp was.
How about New York City? Take a city like New York City, record number of children living on the streets of New York City, and yet the Division of Youth and Family Services take children out of people's homes for political speech violations. Like that. Well, the guy's a little nuts. That one guy from New Germany who called you that one time. He showed up at family court in a German officer's uniform.
Oh yeah,
and then, you know what I mean. And then he wonders, well, why did they look at me unfavorably? Well, you can't be that out in the open with it. I mean, yeah, really, if you did have your so-called rights, which we know we don't have, you would be allowed to name your child Adolf Hitler and Hermann Göring and stuff, and not piss people off, but.
If they'd have called him by some name of some big-shot Jew, they'd have said he's a hero. He should have called his kid Albert Einstein.
Exactly. You can't have that type of family. And it's very easy to attack someone through family court, which is with children, because the rules are written so that the administrators can change the rules as they go, unlike the other courts.
Well, this is extreme of the right-wing kind of not attitude about the Nazis. I mean, he was delusional, this guy. And see, this is the problem of this reverence, this worship of the World War II German military as a military. Well, it was a powerful military. It was a very effective military. But that is not normal civilian life. I mean, what these people should be revering is strength through joy and back to the earth and the greens of German Nazi greens and so forth like that, and what and the scientific advancement under National Socialism in Germany, and quit always going to the war thing. You know, like young kids, they get attracted to that. Well, we used to play that kind of stuff and out in the fields and stuff, and one side to be German, one side to be British or whatever. Everybody wanted to be a German. But anyhow, see, that's the problem, and that's why I don't really push using SS and stuff like that, because the attraction is the powerful military, and that's our problem. The white race has lost every, genetically, it's lost every war it's been in. And so why should we worship or revere the war machine? Because Germany was effectively killing thousands, millions of white Russians. I mean, and the Russians were killing the Germans, and the English were killing the Germans, and everybody was killing each other. They were white people. 55 million people died in World War II. Just a minute here. I got some.
Put them on the show.
Most of the time, it's hang-ups, you know.
They're scared.
Well, when I answer the phone, they are. But here you go. We got to change the way white men think. I mean, you know, and quit. See, most of the people in the right wing that revere the Third Reich, revere the Third Reich because of their uniforms and their killing machines and their ability to take Poland in 2 days and, you know, march through France and then, you know. And that's not what we should be doing, because that was racial suicide.
Let's replace that thinking of that type of thing with the SS was a pan-Aryan organization that recognized that there are superior genes across our whole white people's family, across all three breeds of whites, that there are certain genes that are superior that can be measured. There's an index for children, cranial index, body index, where you could look at someone, know by their hands. This is what the SS was about, was to recognize the white people with the special gift of...
But they went too far. They went too far. We had all that in this country. We started the eugenics programs. The United States of America pioneered eugenics long before there was a Hitler. We were practicing that kind of stuff in this country long before the National Socialists. But the SS carried it too far, even among themselves. You had to be tracer ancestry for 300-400 years. They had to give that up because nobody could accurately do it. Then it became this extreme Germanicism. And believe me, there wasn't the highest respect between the German SS and the SS from these other countries. And that was really, that Waffen SS was only developed later in the struggle when it began to see, hey, we're going to need some more guys to fight. And then they started recruiting these Dutch and everybody else into the Waffen SS.
Right. Not every SS man picked up a rifle or a gun.
But if Hitler could have done it, it would have been just totally Germanic type. See, then we got to get our thinking right, you know. And, you know, they're sitting there saying, well, let's go kill all the Slavs. I mean, you know, come on.
No, they're good Slavs. Now, let me ask you, what does Germanic to you means Nordic? Good. Is that right?
What do you mean there's good Slavs? Of course there's good Slavs. I mean, I'm looking at things racially. I mean, right. If you're racially acceptable, you're racially acceptable. I don't judge whether you're good or evil. I have no control over that. But your genes are, if they're good and you're a good racial specimen, I don't give a shit if you come from where you came from, as long as you're that way, you know. But see, the Germans, they tried to narrow the field too much. In fact, that's what got them in trouble with the Jewish thing, with the assimilated Jews that were living in Germany for hundreds of years, and they even genetically assimilated, and you couldn't tell them from a regular German, but yet they were thrown on a boxcar with all the rest of the Asiatic-type Jews.
Well, here's my question. I know I'm doing research now into genetics and all that. Do you have to be Nordic to be Germanic? And my initial answer is no. You do not have to be, quote, Nordic to be Germanic. Now, I don't know what the answer is completely yet.
Nordic is just a sub-division of whites. I mean, you know, under Hitler, they tried to make it the Nordic ideal, in which I have some sympathy with that, but still, the Germanics, whites went all over the world. I mean, and over into the east, there were thousands and thousands of, maybe millions of Germanic people living in the east and like that. So this Nordicism is a bad idea. I mean, it needs to be played down rather than built up. I mean, we all reverence the beauty of a racial specimen, a woman and like that, and the women to the men. But, you know, the Greeks had all that a long time before there was any Germany around. And right. You can't, but they were building all these statues of the perfect ideal person. But I'm sure most of the people walking around in Greece are just like we are today. They had pot bellies and all the problems we have today. I mean, you know, this, and it takes more than just a Nordic ideal body. You've got to have a Nordic ideal brain. And the brain is what's important, even beyond whether you look like a Adonis or a Superman, you know.
What a great lecture you put out on Saturday, last Saturday's show. That Jewish guy that sounded like Carlin, he spoke about the function of the brain and how the brain functions on 20 watts.
Oh, yeah.
Rewind the tapes of you and me talking about 3 years ago when I explained the physical attributes of how a psychic reads a mind.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same. Now the system has found out about this and is making machines. Like that, who is that astrophysicist that's completely crippled? He can only move his eyes. He spoke about him on the lecture on Saturday's show.
Right.
And they have machines now that could pick up your brain waves on what you want to manipulate and things. Now, this individual can actually be mobile, get around in his wheelchair, all through the interface between machine and the electric brain. And I might add, this is going to be a breakthrough for those individuals with sight loss through the optic nerve, because for years this has been a stumbling block for those of us who have eye disease, is that the optic nerve, the window that interprets the visual signal to an electric pulse, goes bad for in individuals for some reason, in Aryans. And now this offers hope. Maybe in a few number of years we'll be able to have like an extra set of eyes that we can electronically affix to our shoulder, where those individuals with poor sight can now have their sight restored. So this is an incredible lecture, and thank you so much for putting it out. And these are exciting times for that fact.
My opinion is that we're simply regaining what we once had before. I believe that we had tremendous powers before at one time, before maybe cataclysms and war and so forth, when we were pure in our race and so forth, and maybe even connected to people from outer space. I mean, you know, that the same people that built the pyramids possibly and so forth. That I believe in clairvoyance, and I believe in mental telepathy and things like that, but most people don't practice it, and it's something that takes a lot of work to get there. But I think we had powers, and we lost them. And
so the ancients, yeah, the Great Library of Alexandria was burned, and the ancients, look how noble they were. They may have been able to devote more time to higher learning and thinking, and also raising their children with that same intent, giving them intense instruction on the classic languages, Latin, Greek, from an early age, emphasizing music and science. Everything that we've gotten away from here as white men and women, you're right, the ancients had it, and you know we lost it.
We have no way of knowing how many times this has gone around and how many times we've destroyed ourselves almost completely and we've come back from the edge. It could have been hundreds of times that civilization developed to a high state and then lost it and then came back. Through maybe even atomic war of some type. But I think that that's what's yet to be discovered, and it's a hard thing to put together. But
isn't that a reflection of also like the four different seasons? I know you've noticed that effect since moving back home from Southern California, where it's the dramatic change of the four seasons. Everything that is now growing will die in November and December. And it's that constant process of growth, death, and renewal that I think we described when we talk about the ancient civilizations, how advanced and beautiful they were, and how we've fallen from there. We may go back to that greatness, and it may be a cycle.
Well, yeah, I think nature is weeding us out right now. I think that this horrible situation we feel like we're going through is nature weeding us out again, and nature's going to be not only a hard taskmaster, but I think that with the change of the weather and all that kind of stuff, and changing the diseases and everything like that, that Mother Nature is going to sort us out again, and we can go down to a very small amount of people and rebuild. But I think it's going to, nature's going to help us get rid of the non-whites around the world, Africa and China. People are dying like flies over there, and, because we have given them the gift of capitalism, and they have run roughshod with it with no controls over manufacturing and their environment or anything, and they're killing themselves.
Yeah, capitalism is not a closed-loop system. Capitalism is a flat line. And there's times where you gain, but at the end of it, at the end of the road, you're at a dead end.
And then look at Africa. Africa, I mean, you know, no matter how many UN peacekeeping people you send down there from Sweden or some Nordic country, these people are bound to kill each other, and they're just they're on the verge of another Rwanda again, you know, and they wiped out a million people in Rwanda. You see, if we'd leave these things go, many of our problems would soon be limited. Wouldn't be open, but they'd be limited. Instead of running to the aid and taking ships full of food to those people, they have proved themselves, evolutionary-wise, to be unfit.
And speaking of nature and how about medicine, antibiotics? We've pumped those country of Africa, the continent of Africa, China, full of antibiotics. Now the germs and the pathogens are growing resistant to these antibiotics, so that when that germ finally mutates into a form where no antibiotic, none of our modern day remedies will cure it, that's when you're going to see this massive die-off in the mud world population. And like you say, it'll be a reset. Nature will reset back to normal levels, and the earth will start to heal and get better.
Sure. In fact, some of the movies coming out of Hollywood, whether you like it or not, sort of describe that kind of thing. A lot of them do. You know, they're hinting at this, they're hinting at that. The ruling class know that you know, we can't go on with, you know, we're, what, 7 billion now? And they're talking about 9 billion in a couple of years, and then it'll be 15 billion. Then the ruling class know that that's not going to last, but they're so damn greedy they can't leave go of their predatory capitalism. And so it's all going to come down all over the world, and, you know, there's going to be pockets of people that are going to survive it and rebuild.
We get one good year around the globe where the global rice production and wheat production falls off the necessary amounts, and you're going to see the people riot in the third world countries. And we've seen that over the last 10 years. Price of rice has quadrupled in the last 10 years.
You leave it up to these chemical companies, then it'll go faster than hell. I mean, these, not Halliburton, but the big chemical
Monsanto.
Monsanto is destroying people in the third world. They would have been better off with DDT. I mean, you know, DDT didn't do near the damage. This Roundup shit that they're putting all over our country and all over the world. The third world is, I mean, and then they got this genetic modified seed, and they're charging these peasants a tremendous amount of money for it and everything. I mean, it's just, it's cataclysm everywhere you look. It's in, we're just on the beginning throes of it. And, of course, with the weather changing a lot, it's going to even be more that way. So, anyhow.
Monsanto has an item called golden rice,
This has probably happened, many, many times in the world. We've overpopulated and then gone down the hill.
Well, Monsanto tried to push this certain kind of rice on the Philippines and stuff. They did a special on RT, golden rice. And what it is, they cut a piece of Roundup, that pesticide Roundup. They put that genome into the rice itself. So each rice plant that grows has that Roundup genome in it. So they don't even have to spray anymore. The plants are grown with the stuff in it, and a lot of the farmers are too smart to accept it. They say, well, the color itself, gold color in rice, would indicate something that's old. So they outsmarted themselves in that instance.
Well, Monsanto, anytime a Monsanto representative comes into one of these third world countries, they should kill them. Of course, they should do it all over the place, but they're not going to. Because the government, they have extreme protection by the military-industrial complex. And if Monsanto wants something done, it gets done even if it's at the point of a gun.
Yeah, they bribe them.
They got their police. Monsanto's got police that go around and harass farmers. I know because I've got relatives that are farmers, and they question them like the FBI about this and that, and how'd you plant it and all this kind of stuff. And of course they're fighting over this damn Monsanto seed stuff that's getting over into other farmers' property that don't want it, and then Monsanto's suing the farmer for having it on his property. I mean, there was a big lawsuit in New York, where there's thousands of farmers sued Monsanto and these people, and a goddamn judge in New York City, who should be hung, agreed with Monsanto against, I don't know, 100,000 farmers or some very large number of Canadian and American farmers.
That should tell those farmers, hey, the system don't work. If you're applying for relief through the system, don't expect any help. Those farmers are going to have to put all their farms in other people's names. You know how you have to hide your assets and indemnify and all that. You got to be sneaky, just like the people who are attacking us are.
Yeah. Well, there comes a point where it's going to have to be more than that, to where you identify the source of the problem and you deal with it. Period. And I noticed in this film on Titanic, where they're having labor problems there between the big shots and the labor guys, and they were beating the shit out of the laboring guys and union and shooting them and everything. Well, the union has to turn around and do the same thing to the ruling class. I mean, you know. And so,
sure.
If they're trying to, somebody trying to kill you by ruining the land and forcing you to eat shit that's going to make you sick, then they're trying to kill you, and you have a right to self-defense.
How about that farmer or that rancher out west, that Cliven guy? I told you what would happen. The feds would back down out of that standoff because they seen they were outnumbered, and now they're going to try to attack that rancher through the system administratively. And they'll win because, see, they have unlimited money to drag him through court, every different kind of court. They'll use the system to bury him with paperwork.
Well, the whole idea of the government controlling millions and millions of acres of land is not acceptable. But on the other hand, if we let all that land go wide open, the corporations are going to run in there and rape the land and frack the land. So it's sort of between the devil and the heart, being the devil and the hard place. I mean, you know. Now, wait, this guy's a millionaire. Now, no one seems to tell me how much the fees were. Now, if they were reasonable fees, he should have gone along with it. But on the other hand, evidently there were hundreds of other ranchers that went out of business. So if it was that high, if government raised the fees that high, then he's got a real argument. But one thing that bothered me about the guy was he's a millionaire and he wouldn't even hire an attorney to go into court. And anybody that's smart enough to be worth $1 million should know that if you're going to go fight the system, you got to have a real hired gun lawyer. Oh, incidentally, did you see that the National Bar Association of the Lawyers is, for the first time in history, put a black woman as the head of it?
No, I didn't see that. Why on earth would they do that?
Just for show. You know, it's the whole bit, you know. But the point is that she's going to be in there with a nest of Jews, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. She'll either have to knuckle under those most big high percentage of Jews in the association, or they'll wipe her out, you know.
They work together. I know they don't really like each other, the blacks and the Jews. We've seen hatred between those two groups, but boy, when the money's there, they work for each other, don't they?
Sure do. That's the glue. That's the glue. That's the Elmer's glue.
Well, hey, the Supreme Court, let them keep going. Keep making your decisions. You'll see. One day, you're not going to have anywhere to go. That the people are going, there's going to be so many whites breaking down the door that you can't stop the white tide.
Whites are already enslaved. All they have to figure out is understand that they are slaves. They like the blacks. They think they got out of slavery and they walked right into wage slavery and the whole bit. So,
in 100 years there won't be any blacks left in America, in North America. They're breeding themselves right out. That's one good news. In 100 years there won't be no more blacks. I will have to deal with the mestizos. But
well, yeah, the mestizos, if anything, will drive them out. Because they're driving them out of their neighborhoods in the cities in L.A. and all over the place. The blacks are moving back down south and stuff like that. So anyhow, no,
too cold up north.
They think by emasculating just white people that nothing's going to happen. There's going to be all kinds of race war in this country. And if it's not whites defending themselves and doing anything, it's going to be the Mexicans against the blacks and the Asians and all that. Believe me. It's all here. The ingredients are here. Why do you think they got that North American Command Army set to come down on the civilian population? Because they know that with an economic real severe downturn and a food problem and all that kind of stuff, that the system will blow. I mean, all systems that have been built like this always did blow down through history, you know.
So everything is divided on skin color. The light-colored mestizos are against the black mestizos. Everything is skin color. Even among the mud races, the lighter muds dominate over the black skin muds. It's all skin color.
That's what's funny about it. It's racism no matter how you look at it. And the same thing that they criticize racism is the same thing they all practice, you know.
It's the basis of their culture, of the black culture, is racism.
Now the Jews have invented the mulatto race, which is a much more dangerous race. We have more, technically, we have more in common with the blacks than we do with the mulattoes. They learned that in Santo Domingo down there in in the Caribbean when the mulattoes led the slave uprising that killed all the white French and drove them out.
Hey, the mixed races were going to say, look, you know, you can stay, but you're going to have to be sterilized. We cannot have you reproduce. We do not want you to steal our genes. We will not allow you to breed with our white women and white men and steal our genes.
That would have been also the best case that Margaret Sanger and everybody started before there ever was a Hitler in Germany, that sterilize feeble-minded people like that. And I mean, I go around this community I'm in, I see all these, I see a lot of mongoloids and inbred people and weird-looking people. They should have never been born. I mean, you know. And then I see these old people that have kept care of these people all their lives and leading them around to grocery stores and everything, and they never should have been allowed to exist.
What a waste of productivity. And it's not only is it a torture for the caretaker, but the individual organism is also a tortured life.
Yeah.
To have to live like that. It is sad, but
I saw on TV yesterday was so proud she had these two retarded kids that she'd raised for 20-some years, and she was wheeling them both around in wheelchairs and all that shit. I mean, I had it in my own family with a cousin that had cerebral palsy, and she was tied up like a knot. She couldn't talk. She had to be fed with a spoon. Finally died when she was about 30, and I saw the pain and the horrible stuff that my aunt and uncle went through to keep her alive. I mean, and just having seen that and been around and experienced it for years, going over to visit them and things, it made me sick. They became slaves to this piece of vegetable.
And yet Dr. Kevorkian is an enemy in the law's eyes. That is terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, just like the great scientists of old, when the church was executing them for coming up with something good. Well, that's
sure.
For today. I think we better get on out of here. And it's been good talking to you. And you take care of that new Germany, and I'll see what I can do here.
We'll keep an eye out, Tommy. 14-5, and what do we say at the end is?
Shut up.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. This and see if this is working. Give me a 10 count or 5 count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, that's good. Let's see here.